Yeah, it was kind of a fat night for me. It was an I don't care night. Hell, the Lakers are losing. They're down by 29 to Utah. Let's get Postmates on the line and let's get some Popeyes over the house. By the way, Popeyes is not a sponsor of the station. For as much as I talk about them, don't you think they should start buying ads?
Or they do.
Maybe they don't
need
them.
Think of how much we would talk to about them if they were a sponsor.
Oh, God, unbelievable. Dan Wyke, I'm sure Dan Wyke from the LA Times is a chicken sandwich guy. Are you a Popeyes chicken sandwich guy, Dan?
I have not had Popeyes in probably a decade.
Oh, come on. What are you waiting for?
It's been a long time. I'm very lucky here in Long Beach to live very close to Augusta's Fried Chicken. And so I know John has partaken in the the sweet, sweet nectar of Gus's in Memphis, an NBA road staple. And, you know, they've franchised here. And I am proud to say that the quality holds up quite well. So when I want to gorge on fried poultry, that's where I go.
I'm gonna have to try it. John talks about it all the time. I'm sure they deliver. I'm gonna have to try it.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. Okay, Dan.
It's so good.
We spent the entire first segment of this show, Mason and I, arguing,
berating each other
over whether or not the Lakers are broken. My argument is they're not. They're missing two incredibly important pieces, and when they get Dennis Schroeder and Anthony Davis back, then they'll be favored to compete with teams like Utah.
Okay, now, as usual, John Ireland misframing the question. The question was about last night.
John, those goalposts sound like they've been moving a little bit over
okay,
there.
Okay, so Mason, how would you...
My point is, I don't think, and particularly last night, I don't think they were playing with defensive intensity. I thought at some point they deflated and it stopped being a game. Do you think they played with defensive intensity last night in that game at Utah?
I'd say for like 17 minutes, maybe like the first 15 to 17 minutes. It is deflating.
Utah's been doing that to everybody is my point. Finding a team, they've had 32 games, 20 times they've been up by 20 or more. 20 out of 32. They do this to everybody. Mason's just making it about the Lakers, but it's really about Utah.
So here, the way that's because this is an area of expertise. Let me talk out of both sides of my mouth here really quickly, right? Okay. So if I were to be nervous, if I were to be kind of this is bad, the things that I would look to is actually not this four-game losing streak. I would probably look more to the seven-game winning streak before that. Where you saw, I think, the seedlings of bubble fatigue really start to get planted, right? And you started to watch this team go from being, you know, a 36, 37% three-point shooting team to a team that's routinely in the 20s. You know, they've been under 30%. Guys, here's a stat for you. Under 30% seven of their last nine games.
Right.
Like, that's atrocious in the modern NBA. That is as unsustainable of a model as there is. You know, I'm looking at stats right now over their last eight games, and you've got guys like LeBron James shooting, you know, 19% from three while playing almost 36 minutes a game. Like, that's problematic. So there's all these like kind of little things that I think.
Dan, do you think that's fatigue? By the way, do you think that's fatigue on the part of
sure,
LeBron 100%. That he's shooting 19%?
I mean, I think it's a combination of, I think, a little bit of reversion to the mean that he probably isn't a 42% three-point shooter, not the kind of the difficulty and quality of shots that he takes and the volume, that he did over the first 20 games. But I don't think this is the worst shooting stretch, I think, of his career statistically. And that's the most obvious place that he's playing a ton of minutes. And that, to me, is the really easy place to play. He's looked tired, right? Like, I think a fully energized LeBron James isn't getting beat off the dribble by Kelly Olynyk. And we saw that happen twice in the Heat game. We saw a potential game-winning free throw get left, pretty short. That shot never had a chance of going in off the front rim. And we've obviously watched him struggle from three-point range. So I think... Yeah, like the missing of the shots, the minutes, the sort of overall mental toll of the schedule coming off of last season are all factors as to, like, if you're going to be nervous, I don't think the All-Star break erases all of that stuff. Now, the good news is is, to John's point, you do get, and I think this is an important way to frame it, you get 40% of your starting lineup back.
Right.
When Dennis Schroeder and Anthony Davis are on the court, and that's a lot, right? Like Steve, if you had 40% less Popeyes, you'd probably feel so much better about your decision making.
Yeah, I'd probably be a lot closer. Probably be a lot
that's
closer
an
to
excellent
190.
Comparison, Dan.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that to me is sort of like, that's one thing. And I think the other thing, too, is analytically, even despite the fact that we have not seen what I would consider to be Anthony Davis's best basketball this season, that him and LeBron James still as a duo, when you look at net rating, I think we're fourth in the league going into last night's game without, you know, seeing other stats and stuff like that. And that was the formula last year. Last year's, you know, it's funny what that ring does. You know what I mean? I think it covers up a lot of flaws. And that team last year had flaws and had questions and had detractors. And the one thing that they had every night was they had LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And to me, the only thing, guys, the only thing that would make me nervous about the Lakers' chances, kind of big picture, are there was nobody as good as the Nets were around last year in the bubble. And I think the Clippers mentally are a different team than they were last year in the bubble. So I think the level of competition at the top is higher. And then obviously you have the Jazz. And I think, you know, if you guys want to talk about whether or not we think of how real we view them, that's an interesting conversation.
How real do you view them? That's a good question. How real do you view them?
I think that this is a year where we could get an unconventional champion, and they would certainly fit that mold. Like, right in the last two decades, we've really only seen one team kind of like them win, and it was the Pistons. I mean, when we talk about star power, right? Fun exercise, guys, is go through the Western Conference and find a playoff series that the Jazz would play where they would have the best player on the court. And that's sort of the weird thing, right, is that it's hard to find that matchup. You know, the Warriors would have a better player. The Blazers would have a better player. The Suns would have a better player. You know, obviously the Lakers and the Clippers would both have better players. The Nuggets would have a better player. You kind of work your way through that list, and you know, they're going to have, if they're going to win, it's going to have to be cumulative. And history shows us that that's not, like, always the greatest formula in the postseason. So that's kind of where I'm at with them.
Dan Wojcicki from the LA Times is our guest. Dan, Dennis Schroeder is eligible to clear the health and safety protocols in time to play against the Blazers tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he's playing? What do we know about Schroeder and if and when he's coming back?
I think the way – so we don't know a ton, right? And that's sort of by design when it comes to these health and safety things. I think the second that Frank Vogel put – a potential timeline on his return, I think we can make the safe assumption that he had not tested positive for the virus, right? So we know that, and through deduction, you can kind of say that, okay, he's probably been exposed to someone who tests positive, which was what happened to Alex Caruso earlier this year. And so what we kind of know during that is you can still work out a little bit. So when you're ready to play, you can kind of come back and you can be on the court. But I think, you know, to expect him to come out, play Friday minutes and chase Damian Lillard around for 35 minutes, you know, probably not. It would seem like you'd want to work back up to a certain level of sort of game shape after not playing for a week. But I mean, I think, you know, as long as he continues testing negative, I would expect him to be on the court Friday. I mean, that's sort of been the gist of what I've gotten. It would be very conservative, I think, if he was unable to play after clearing protocols. It seems like, you know, at least some minutes, and I think he would help. And they've made it clear, you know, I mean, it's not just offensive. It would, you know, this is a guy that is a point of attack guy on defense. And then he's also someone I think who can just take a little bit of the load off of LeBron James's shoulders, which is certainly a nightly kind of thing we're all watching.
So we were talking about this last night. Kyrie Irving on Instagram suggested mm-hmm. that the NBA logo should be changed to a silhouette of Kobe with this all caps, "Black Kings Built the League." How do you feel about the idea that Kobe Bryant could become the next logo for the NBA?
I think it's an interesting tribute. I mean, I think, right, like the league sort of already kind of, you know, staked their tribute to Kobe, I think, and that's All-Star Weekend. It's going to be kind of a Kobe weekend, and yeah. I think it will be moving forwards, right? It's like whether it's, you know, the playing the 24 and the Elam ending, or obviously they named the MVP trophy after Kobe Bryant. I think obviously Kobe's impact on the NBA is immense. You know, do we need to change the logo to honor that? I don't know. I mean, to me, I think especially too, if you're doing it in honor, if you want to honor legacies and stuff like that, I think especially if you want to honor Black legacy in the NBA, Bill Russell seems like a pretty good place to start.
Yeah.
For me. You know what I mean? I know that's like blasphemous or, and you can move from Bill Russell to someone like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yep.
Who's had a massive impact, not only on basketball, but on the world at large. So it seems like there's a little bit of recency bias, I think, in some of this, but,
sure.
Look, I think more than anything, it just shows how much people revered Kobe Bryant, how much this generation of NBA superstars revered Kobe Bryant. And you see it, I think, on the court almost every night. The place that I think I see it most is when, and virtually every great player has this in their bag, is sort of that 19-foot turnaround jump shot that has been sort of passed down from Michael Jordan to Kobe to you know, we see LeBron do it. I think we see Kyrie do it. And it's, you know, it's just such a weapon. Kawhi Leonard does it. All of these guys, it feels like a little bit of an homage. And that's kind of the legacy that I see. But to me, I think from a logo standpoint, if we're going to honor people, I think we can go back further than 10 years or 15 years.
Well, listen, Dan, you got to try go back to the Popeyes, man. Try going back to the Popeyes.
Transition.
Yeah, that's why I'm going.
All right, maybe I'll try. And I'll report back.
Okay, good. Report back. The chicken sandwich is the best, better than Chick-fil-A, better than all the other ones that are popping up. Popeyes is the one. Hey, Dan, thanks a lot for coming on, as always, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys, be good. Have a good weekend.
Cool.
You too, Dan. See ya. You know, Michael said last night he always prepares quizzes for me and Sliwa about the teams that we're playing. Michael claimed last night that Kentucky Fried Chicken was started in Salt Lake City.
I don't know if
heard
that's
that
true.
Before.
Well, Michael's good at Googling.
Very good. Boy, that was scandalous.
Oh, man. That was an absolute
By the way, so tomorrow,
scandal.
You know, he's denying it. Tomorrow he's coming back, and he's going to face the jury because we have irrefutable evidence that he cheated.
Yeah, hard evidence that he absolutely cheated, which I find... You know what? And I know it's been suggested. John, you win every month on Game of Games.
No, Lindsay won the first couple of months. I sharpened my sword after I lost the first 2 months.
Yeah, and there's this weird sort of maybe conspiracy that John Ireland might be cheating. That's float, but there's no hard evidence.
Right.
And evidence is with Michael.
And what I would tell you to do if you think I'm cheating, and Lindsay's done it, is come up with games where Google doesn't matter. And I win those, too. Like, Lindsay came up with that fun game where you have 5 seconds to come up with a list of stuff. You can't Google that. It's ungoogleable.
So make the games ungoogleable. You definitely got to do that with Michael.
And yeah, so...
Oh, now that you mention it, I don't think Michael does as well at those type of games.
Right. I win those, too. So, I mean, and Michael, you know, the funny thing is Michael doesn't understand how computers work.
Right.
So after he left... Jorge and Bronstein went in and checked his history and took a picture of it, and he's Googling, like, Los Angeles canals.
Yeah, he actually Googled what the question was, and he asked me to repeat the question.
Right, to buy him time.
Yeah. Who thinks these games are important enough to cheat? That's the question.
Michael.
Yeah, Michael, clearly. All right, coming up next for you is The Scoop, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And it's time for The Scoop. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. John, Twitter is finally doing it. They had an investment. All their stockholders had a call today. They are adding a premium feature that can be used by anybody on Twitter with really good content. Twitter revealed at least part of the paid subscription service it's been working on for some time. It's called Super Follow, and it will allow users to get exclusive content deals and community access to creators. So the new Super Follow feature will give you an opportunity to give creators the ability to directly monetize their audience on Twitter. They'll make some of the money, and Twitter will make some of the money. Reporters will literally be able to have a paywall for their tweets. So $4.99 a month. John, are you in on Twitter Super Follows?
No, not as long as I'm working for the Lakers. If I'm working for the Lakers, all my content will always be free.
No, and I'm talking about, will you buy it?
Oh, sure. I would pay for certain people. Like,
how much money Woj would make if he was a star?
Right. I would pay for Woj. I would pay for Schefter. I'd pay for Ramona. There's a handful of people I'd pay for. My Twitter account, even though it's my thoughts and my things, as long as the Lakers are paying me to do games, I would not charge for my Twitter feed.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you'd be allowed to. I wonder if I would be allowed to.
I don't think John tweets. I don't think John tweets enough to charge for it.
I agree.
You know, you need to be somebody who's got some like seriously exclusive content.
You're a Twitter reader as opposed to a tweeter.
True.
I think this is a brilliant idea. First of all, I've been unable to figure out how Twitter makes any money. I know it's on the stock market and all that stuff, but I mean, I don't know how.
Well, because
Twitter
you and I
money.
Use TweetDeck and there are no ads, but you know, if you use regular Twitter, there are a bunch of ads.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but TweetDeck, for whatever reason, doesn't have ads.
Yeah, we use TweetDeck. TweetDeck is awesome. I think this is going to be really successful. You know, it's modeled, I feel like it's modeled after OnlyFans, which Lindsay, I just watched that documentary about OnlyFans the other night, which is the sort of people are doing sex stuff.
Adult content.
On OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Adult content. Sometimes it's just modeling. Like they had some people that it's just modeling and they sell access to their modeling pictures. And then there's some where it's actual sex. But it's based on OnlyFans and people are definitely paying for OnlyFans. And the weird thing is, you can, and I guess they live on this, you can tip on OnlyFans. So if you see something that you really, really, really like, you can pay extra as a tip. And there are people making, Lindsay, how much are people making on OnlyFans? There are people making.
I personally know a girl who makes like $5,000 a week on there.
A week?
That's crazy. What's she doing?
Come on.
Is she
a model or a sexer?
No. Well, she's an X-rated model. She doesn't have – it's not like porn or anything like that. It's not like actual sex, but it's naked pictures and videos of her. A lot of times she said people will specifically ask her like to like, you know, for personal shout-outs in their videos, and that's what I guess a lot of people make money off of.
Right. Yeah, no, it's based on that OnlyFans model, or OnlyFans is based on what Twitter was going to do one way or the other. I don't follow anybody on OnlyFans. I'm not interested enough to follow them because – it's really all free. I mean, I don't understand OnlyFans. When you can get it for free, why pay? I guess that's my view. Right. All right, it's to you.
Mace, a couple hours ago, Adam Schefter reported, both on ESPN TV and on his social media accounts, that Russell Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. Schefter got this directly from Mark Rogers, who is Russell Wilson's agent. If he's putting out a list of teams that he would be willing to play for, but he's not asking for a trade, isn't he in essence asking for a trade? And how do you think this story ends?
Yeah, I mean, I consider this, when you put out a list of teams you're willing to go to, that suggests that there is real trouble in the relationship between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. And he's a top 10 quarterback. I think he's somewhere between 5 and 10. Would you agree with that?
I would. And by the way, the first three teams on that list, Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, I think if he went to one of those three teams, really, Cowboys and Saints, I just threw Raiders in because I'm a Raider fan, but if he went to the Cowboys or Saints.
Oh, the Saints. Can you imagine?
Wouldn't that team immediately become a Super Bowl contender? Like, if he went to the Cowboys, they would obviously cut bait with Dak Prescott.
Yep.
But they have a good defense. They have some weapons on offense. They would immediately become the favorites to win the NFC East. And if he went to the Saints, I think the Saints become a top three favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no question. I mean, the Saints with Russell Wilson, that would be crazy. You know, here's the thing, though. I think that what he's doing is he is wielding power within the Seattle organization. There is no way, I don't think, Seattle would trade Russell Wilson. And he has not demanded a trade.
Okay, can I throw the opposite opinion at you?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You know who Jason Lacanfora is, right?
Yes,
really highly regarded NFL reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Jason tweeted this. Biggest thing to keep in mind with the Russell Wilson trade, no normal OTAs or offseason, and after June 1st, cap hit is only like $12 million. So it could be a combination of players and picks. Things not getting any better between him and the team. Stay tuned. So I think it is possible that Russell Wilson moves. And by the way, Mace, I still think Deshaun Watson, even though the Texans are apparently playing hardball and they're not even taking calls on Deshaun Watson, I think it's possible both those guys are on other teams this
year. Boy, you know, wouldn't it be interesting? You could flip those guys straight up and everybody wins.
Except Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson isn't getting to go to the team, one of the teams on his list. Yeah, that would be the problem. All right, Cam Newton is known for his high fashion. He is cutting edge. He's a progressive dresser. He has a sense of style that is all his own. He says that he is going to be taking a different approach to his wardrobe from now on. He recently talked about this on his vlog. He's got a vlog, John.
That's a video blog?
Yep, video blog. He says, I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars, maybe even millions of dollars on clothes that I only wore once. One of my New Year's resolutions is to not buy high fashion. I want to be more of a thrift store shopper. I want to be more of a vintage shopper. I want to be more of a person that finds gems in stores that are less expensive. Now, Newton always dresses to the nines, as they say, and not everybody likes it. But I think he cares a great deal. What do you think of Cam's new fashion strategy going more vintage?
Well, a lot of people dress like this. Jordan Clarkson, who used to play for the Lakers, used to shop in thrift stores. Russell Westbrook shops in thrift stores. I like kind of cool old vintage stuff. I personally don't shop in a lot of thrift stores, but I like the look. When someone else does it, I think that if they and by the way, I think it's, you know, it makes more sense to me that to go to a thrift shop and find something cool and not pay, you know, top dollar for it, wear it once and never wear it again. I think there are certain things, like, for example, I was flipping channels the other night and I was watching the movie Do the Right Thing.
Sure.
Which I think came out in the 90s, maybe even the 80s. I'd have to look it up. And Spike Lee in that movie is running around in a Jackie Robinson jersey. You could wear that today. That's never going to go out of style. And so if Cam has a sense for things like that, that are never going to go out of style, I actually think it's kind of cool. What do you think?
The part of it that jumps out at me, and I understand why, if you're spending even millions of dollars on clothes that you only wear once, why you would decide, hey, I'm going to go to a thrift store and save some of my money. The part of it that boggles my mind is that you buy clothes and only wear them once. I cannot imagine that. John, I have worn the same hoodie for the last 2 weeks every day. I mean, we're not doing pictures. We're not on video. Nobody sees us. I mean, I just wear the same clothes over and over again. I call it the uniform. Right now, the uniform is these blue sweatshorts and a hoodie.
Okay,
and
I want you to tell me if I'm being smart or a little bit fetishy, okay, when I tell you what my policy's been for the past few months.
Okay, got it.
If I throw on clothes every day, like today I golfed. I went and golfed in the morning. If I wear clothes outside the house, all right, I automatically wash them, even if like right now I'm wearing a t-shirt, a pair of shorts, and some socks. If I throw on a pair of shoes and go to the market go to Ralph's, go to, even if I only go for 10 minutes, I throw these clothes in the laundry. Even if, you know, even if they like only wore them for an hour, you know, before the pandemic, I would never do that. I would say, oh, I only wore these.
Really? It's because you are Felix. I mean, you are very, very organized.
So is that, but
very
is neat. That,
and by the way, you're the only one that does laundry in your house.
Correct. Man, my son Jack does it too, but Lisa doesn't touch it. She's not allowed. But
yeah, I think that's a little bit neurotic. I don't wash clothes after I wear them once.
Even during the pandemic.
Why during the pandemic?
Because I mean, in the beginning of the pandemic,
it's not going to stick to my clothes.
No, in the beginning of the pandemic, doctors said if you're around other people, and you come home, immediately take those clothes and wash them because we don't know how the disease. Now we know a little bit more now, and it's unlikely that, for example, I was sitting in a golf cart today, wearing a sweatshirt. It's unlikely that that sweatshirt is going to pick up the virus, but I throw it in the wash anyway.
Yeah, I just think you, at this point, I think you're being neurotic.
Okay.
I mean, I got no problem with wearing the same clothes over
like
and over.
Jeans are normally, normally something I only wash like maybe once every couple of weeks.
Yeah, the only people I see are, you know, when I go into a grocery store, if I go into a pharmacy.
Right, but I see a lot more people things. Than you. I go, I went in and did a game last night. I went into the station.
Yeah, see, I'm in lockdown. I'm in lockdown. Still.
I guess tomorrow night I'll be at Staples Center, so I'll see a bunch of people.
So I got my two shots. I'm in lockdown.
Yeah.
And I'll start wearing normal clothes again. All right, there you have it. There is your scoop for today. Coming up next, oh, did you hear about the dog napping?
This story to me seems incredibly cruel.
Yeah, we will get to that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, what is up? Lakers get blown out last night. We'll circle back to that coming up. Radio Tinder's coming up for you in about 15 minutes. So, John, last night, Lady Gaga's dogs were targeted by a kidnapper in Hollywood. She's got two French bulldogs. They're named Koji and Gustav. And her dog walker was actually shot. And the guy ran away with Koji and Gustav. Now, the dog walker, thankfully, will make a full recovery. He was not shot seriously. Lady Gaga now offering $500,000 to whoever has her dogs.
$500,000.
And she says no questions will be asked. To me, I can't even imagine what she's going through. I mean, I would be out of my mind right now if Sophie and Fredo were kidnapped somehow.
You know, the first thing that popped into my head, well, two things. Number one, you've said many times on this show, and I think some people will react to this view as extremist,
yep.
And that's okay.
Sure.
But you've said your dogs are like your kids.
They are, because I don't have kids.
Correct. And I would imagine Lady Gaga probably feels the same way.
Think Lady Gaga has any kids.
Yeah, I think she got married recently, but or at least she was supposed to be married. It may have fallen through. I'm not sure.
it fell through.
I normally keep up on those things.
Yes, you do.
My thought on that is, I'm sure that kidnapping dogs doesn't carry the same legal penalty as kidnapping people, but I almost think it should. Why?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I take, all right, I have one son. He's a teenager now. But if my son was, if somebody, a nanny or one of our friends or my mom was out walking our son in a stroller, and somebody came by and shot my mom and took the kid, obviously that would be attempted murder, and kidnapping. If we find out who took these dogs, can we charge them with kidnapping like they kidnapped a person? Do you know?
I don't know the answer to that.
Or is it just like stolen property? Are animals and pets looked at as property?
Because so in other
I would
words,
argue
take,
that
take the shooting part out of it.
Yeah, the shooting part, that should be attempted murder.
Yeah, that's attempted murder. But the dogs, just stealing dogs, what kind of crime is that?
Is that theft or is that kidnapping?
Yeah, 877-710. If you're a lawyer, 877-710-ESPN, if you think you know. Lindsay, what do you think? Is that the equivalent of kidnapping?
Well, I looked it up, and it seems like it varies by state, but it's definitely not like a felony, like kidnapping, regular kidnapping of a human.
It's not a felony? That's a joke. It should be.
In most states, it says most states consider pet theft a misdemeanor. And the penalties include relatively small fines and little to no jail time.
Wow.
See, that to me is offensive.
So Koji and Gustav are prisoners somewhere. They're being kept away from their mom, Lady Gaga.
Pups.
What's that?
Those poor pups.
Poor dogs. And poor Lady Gaga. I feel for her. I feel for her in this case. Now, law enforcement.
Man, I got to tell you something, Mace. And this is probably not a very responsible thing to say, but what the hell? If word gets out who did this,
yep.
You know that fans of Lady Gaga and fans of singers in general are pretty fanatical.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be all over you.
Yeah, this person who did this, better hope he gets locked up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, what's interesting is, I guess this is a risk for any famous person, right? Any famous person, their dog is certainly one of the...
Part of their family.
Yeah, it's part of your family. To me, the idea, that should be a felony, stealing somebody's dog. Now, what's interesting is the kidnapper didn't ask Lady Gaga for anything in exchange. So, in other words, it wasn't like... Not yet. Lady Gaga's offering $500,000. If I've got those dogs right now, I'm going to take it. Although the moment you take it, you're going to go in to the clink, as they say, for attempted murder because you shot the dog walker. But yeah, no, I would be if somebody.
And by the way, was the dog walker Mike Tyson? Couldn't you have just taken the dogs without shooting somebody?
Yeah, you would think so. The shooting seemed unnecessary.
I was going to say, club the guy in the back of the knees and take the dogs.
It's scary. I feel for Lady Gaga on this
what
one.
Did that happen in?
It was in Hollywood.
It said Hollywood, yeah.
I wonder if it's, I used to live in West Hollywood. That'd be weird. The West Hollywoodians would rise up against this guy.
They absolutely would. Well, I feel for Koji and Gustav. I feel for Lady Gaga. I hope that she gets her dogs back, and I hope that the guy goes to jail for a long time.
That's a much bigger crime than people are going to treat it as.
Totally agree. I mean, people who don't get dogs or don't understand dogs or don't have dogs, like our good friend Ben Lyons for a long time would say, and I think at some point this might have changed, but he said, dogs are disgusting. I would never want a dog.
Well, Ben's a city kid. Grew up in New York City. I can understand why he may not have ever had a dog because there's no yard for, his parents. We've met his dad. His dad's a great guy.
Oh, his dad's a fantastic guy.
He didn't get the dog experience.
A lot of people aren't pet people.
Just because you don't grow up with dogs doesn't mean that you're not a dog person. You know how I feel about people who not someone who doesn't have a dog, but if you specifically say you don't like dogs or you don't like pets, I don't think you have a soul. But
well, I don't think Ben had any exposure to dogs.
Well, I didn't have a dog growing up, and I love my dog more than most people.
Yeah, I didn't have a dog growing up either. The first thing I did when I got on my own was got a dog because I always wanted a dog. Yeah. Well, I hope they rescue those dogs, and I hope the guy is brought to justice. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder, all the stuff that Lindsay's going to throw at us. We never know what's coming. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. This in Clever Name 71 says, lawyer here tried to call in. Big thing to point. I can hear you, Lindsay. Lawyer here tried to call in. Big thing to point out is the pet napping might not be a felony, but there are additional acts that could escalate it beyond the underlying act if they harm the dogs, if they try to create distress in Lady Gaga, etc. So not a felony, but there could be stuff that turn it into a felony. All right, Lindsay, what do you got?
Did we lose her?
I think we lost her.
We have ZipRecruiter at the break.
Lindsay, we can hear you, Lindsay, talking hear about you. ZipRecruiter.
We have ZipRecruiter at the break. We know that. So stand by. We've got a ZipRecruiter read at the end of Radio
Tinder.
Yeah,
that's totally forward. Lindsay, can you hear us?
The answer is no.
All right. So we'll do Radio Tinder later or maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. Kill the Radio Tinder music. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
All right. I wanted to dunk this in. Jorge, are you with us?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. I don't know what happened to Lindsay. So I think we put this morning. Yesterday, a passenger airline verified a radio transmission from flight 2292. It was Cincinnati to Phoenix at around 1 o'clock Central Time on Sunday. We heard a pilot, and now we've got tape of this, claim that there was an unidentified object flying right on top of them. This happened in the corner of New Mexico, west of Des Moines. Jorge, do you have this sound?
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
Aha! Now, wow. American Airlines has referred all questions to the FBI. John, I think it's happening more often than it used to. But I think, you know, mysterious lights.
We are not alone?
I'm starting to believe that we are being visited. This is a good example. This is a pilot who says he saw a cylindrical object right above the plane. Are you buying?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know me. I'm all in on Area 51. I'm all in on Martians. I'm all in on UFOs. Any conspiracy theory, I'm pretty much in on.
No, I don't believe in Martians.
What?
Yeah, no.
I've got a conspiracy theory.
Oh,
and
wait a minute.
You guys are trying to kill Radio Tinder.
No, what happened to you?
I don't know. I was talking, but I guess
you disappeared. All of a sudden, you were talking about there's a ZipRecruiter spot coming up. Everybody's waiting for their ZipRecruiter spot.
No, I didn't know that we were back on the air, and I guess something was wrong with my line.
All right. Well, do you want to jump into Radio Tinder?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Some Radio Tinder.
Do it.
All right. Starting off with Mr. Potato Head, who is no longer a Mr. Hasbro, the company that makes the potato-shaped plastic toy, is giving the spud a gender-neutral new name, Potato Head. And the change will appear on boxes this year. Hasbro said that Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, which have both been around for about 70 years, needed modern makeovers. Toy makers have been updating their classic brands to appeal to kids today. Do you think that the gender-neutral Potato Head will appeal to more kids in 2021? Swipe left or swipe right?
This may give away my age, but I'm going to swipe left. Why can't we just keep it like it was? Mr. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head. Why do we need a gender-neutral Potato Head?
I think it's overkill. I don't understand either. And by the way, for Hasbro, it's kind of stupid because I would imagine they come in pairs, right? Normally, you would get a Mr. and a Mrs.
And you could charge more for two of them, right?
Right. And now you're doing a gender-neutral. You only need one Mr. Potato Head.
I think they had baby Potato Heads at one point, too.
Well, and by the way, Lindsay, no matter how you identify, whether you identify as a man or a woman or something in between, you could always choose which Potato Head you bought. Like if you were more comfortable with Mr. Potato Head, there you go. You're more comfortable with Mrs. Potato Head, there you go. I don't think there's an overwhelming population demanding a gender-neutral Potato Head.
Yeah,
I think they went too far here.
I'm going to swipe left also.
I think they're trying to appeal more to kids these days wanting more options. I know that are you guys familiar with Thomas the Tank?
Engine, the train.
They never had female trains. And I guess, you know, over the past couple of years, some little girl decided, hey, wait a minute, I'm a girl and I love trains and I want to play with Thomas the Trains, but I want to play with the girl trains. So they started making girl trains.
Right, but that's not the case here. There was already a girl and a boy Potato Head.
Right. I think this is more for the people that, I guess, don't identify as either. is either a female or a male.
But that's not a very large portion of people, right?
Yeah, but maybe they're just trying to be ambiguous to please
can
everybody.
I, now, you know? Do you know the answer to this? Can I still, if I want to, get a gender-specific potato head? Can I still buy a Mr. or a Mrs.?
So I don't think so, because they're renaming and rebranding it just Potato Head. And then selling separate sets of accessories and whatnot, you know, because...
I guess the idea is, once you get Potato Head, you can make it a Mr. or a Mrs. or leave it gender neutral.
Right. Which so I feel like you could do that anyway.
You've got a wider range of options with your Potato Head needs. So
whatever you want. It's just the box that's taking the Mr. out of it. Come on.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, yeah. Jorge.
Just take a Sharpie, cross off the Mr. or the Mrs. and put them back on the shelves.
All right, what's next?
All right, after staying home for nearly a year, Americans would give anything to hit the road again.
Yeah.
Desperate vacationers said that they would willingly give up love, sex, or money in exchange for a trip, according to a recent survey by travel search site Trivago. More than 80% of those polled said that travel is part of a well-rounded life. So here's the breakdown. 48% said they would give up their job. 38% said that they would give up sex for 1 year. A quarter would fork over all their savings. And 1 in 5 said they would dump their partner if it meant that they could take a trip in the near future. Would you do any of those things to take a vacation to your favorite place this month? Swipe left or right.
Zero. Swipe left on all of them. Wouldn't give up anything. Wouldn't give up sex. Wouldn't give up money. Wouldn't
to go
give
to
up,
Taranea?
Lisa. Nope, not going. I'll
to go to Pelican Hill?
Stay away.
Just wouldn't go.
I wouldn't give up. What were the four things, Lindsay? Sex, money, my
job,
partner,
money,
and my job.
Partner.
No, I like my jobs too. I'm keeping all four.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up any of those things, but I'll tell you what. I got a really bad case of wanderlust right now. You know, I've been looking at Juan subscribes to this Greatest Hotels in the World Instagram account, and they just keep showing up. And there was a beautiful one at Lake Como, Italy.
I've been there.
Have you been to that hotel?
Was it Via d'Este?
It's the one where the pool is right over the lake.
Yeah, that's Via d'Este. I've been there. It's unbelievable. You never have to leave. Once you check in there, you're just set.
And you know, I love to travel. I mean, in the last few years, I went to El Salvador, I went to Nicaragua, I went to Cartagena, I went to Costa Rica. I mean, I love to travel. So it's killing me not being able to.
Why don't you just do the show on the road?
Yeah, but I can't go to an exotic place. Like right before the world shut down, I was going to go because I don't have my shots. And once I get my shots, I do it. But we were going to go to Guatemala. Do you remember that, John? Right when the clock was ticking down.
And you bagged it.
And we were going to go to Guatemala. And we ended up going to Hawaii. And we stayed for 2 days and flew back because it was getting too weird out there. It was getting when we landed in Hawaii, we were both kind of skeeved out by the whole pandemic thing. It hadn't blown up yet. Like people were still moving around. But we thought, boy, we shouldn't really be here. We could get stuck here. And we almost got onto a flight and flew directly home. Once I get my two shots, I will live my best life. And so will Juan. We'll travel again. But I wouldn't give up any of this stuff, sex, money, job, to travel internationally right now, or Juan.
By the way, I've been reading a lot about the vaccine lately, and I read that both Pfizer and Moderna are in the 90-ish percent range of being effective 2 weeks after just the first dose.
Wow.
So obviously, they want people to get their boosters, but now they're suggesting that people can kind of push back those second shots so everyone's able to get their first dose. You know what I mean? So they're at least somewhat protected.
So you're really protected after the first shot. The booster is just putting you over the top.
Yeah, and the booster is more, I guess it more guarantees like the time frame. It lengthens it. They said that the trials yet, they don't know how long with just the first shot you'd be protected. But they know that 2 weeks after that first shot is done, you're protected just as well as once you get the second one.
Not stepdad Leo got his second shot this week. He was in bed for a day. My mom is getting her second shot tomorrow, and she's getting her second shot today and is going to try to move into Leo's house tomorrow. I said, that's terrible planning to try to move the day after you get your second shot.
Although she could just make Leo do all the work. Leo, I don't feel well.
I believe that is the plan. I believe Leo will be doing much of the work.
Your mother shouldn't be doing any work moving anyway.
Yeah, I agree. 78-year-old woman, you shouldn't be working. All right. What's next?
Last one here. Pro beach volleyball players fear over potential restrictions while playing at a tournament in Qatar sparked a reversal from the sport's governing body yesterday. The women's portion of the International Volleyball Federation World Tour will head to Doha, Qatar for the first time next month. The FIVB initially forced female players to wear long shorts and trousers out of respect for the culture and traditions of the host country. So basically, they want them to cover up because that's what they do in their country.
Right.
And then German professional beach volleyball stars Carla Borger and Julia Sood said that they would boycott the tournament if they couldn't wear their bikinis. So do you think that pro athletes should be forced to change their uniforms to adhere to the host country's culture?
Absolutely not.
Hell no.
I think that if Qatar doesn't want to welcome the world, and I feel this way about the World Cup and the Olympics and everything else, if you're going to offer to host international events, you've got to lax your restrictions on women not being able to show any skin when they dress. Mace, they should yank any world competition out of Qatar if Qatar's going to force women to dress the way they think they should dress.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to demand that, they should pull the events away from Qatar. Because,
well, I guess after all the outcry today, they decided that they're going to let them wear their bikinis. Because
by the way, the other thing is the average.
I
read somewhere the average temperature in Qatar in most months is close to 100 or well over 100 degrees. I don't know how they got these. I don't know how they got the World Cup. I don't know how they got this event you're talking about. But I think people should seriously think twice about holding any of these events in Qatar, especially if that's their attitude.
Yeah, especially when there are human rights issues. The way women are treated in that country is ridiculous. Women in burqas and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
come on.
The idea of asking volleyball players to play volleyball in long pants and long sleeve shirts absolutely ridiculous.
Just dumb.
It's interesting because I know that WWE, when they did shows over in the Middle East, I can't remember which country they most recently went to, but the same thing happened. They were told that they had to cover up, and they did. The women did. So I don't think that the women's matches were even allowed to be televised, I guess, for some reason, because that's something they weren't allowed to show on TV out there.
Right.
And they had to fully cover up because they wear some pretty scantily clad outfits in, you know, the wrestling ring. They're pretty much bikinis for the most part. And they had to wear full, like from their neck all the way down to their boots. They had to be completely covered up, and they adhered to the rule. They didn't protest it at all.
Yeah. I think if Qatar is not willing to play by the world's rules, then they shouldn't be getting these events. All right, there you have it. There's your Radio Tinder. We started the show today with an interesting debate, a heated debate, about whether or not the Lakers, who got blown out last night in Salt Lake City, whether they were playing at full defensive intensity. I don't think they were. I think the concern is that they're not shooting three-pointers well. I think even before the game, KCP said he was feeling tired, that he was looking forward to the All-Star break. I heard Mike Trudell say that last night. So we'll get into that coming up next for you. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.